2020, isn't that crazy? New decade. Perfect vision. I could use some 2020. For those of you who wear glasses, 2020 is a dream, so... So it's a new decade, but today is a day that the Lord has made. This is a day that we get to rejoice, we get to be glad in it, we get to experience His presence and His goodness. So Lord, we just thank You for this new year. This new year, Lord, brings new things to our lives, and we know that You're the giver of all good things. And so we, ahead of time, thank You, Lord, for the good things that we'll receive this year. And Lord, we know that it's not always easy, but we even thank You, Lord, for the difficulties that will come, because those difficulties, Lord, are what's going to perfect us and perfect our faith, Lord, and help to make us stronger in You. So we thank You ahead of time for difficult times. We pray, Lord, that today we would experience, Lord, everything that You have for us. We know that sometimes things don't go exactly as we plan, but Lord, we know that when we have committed our ways to You, Lord, that You'll direct us and You'll guide us and lead us. So we ask You to do that today. Let this worship time, Lord, that we're about to enter into, Lord, be a time that our hearts connect with You. That we just don't connect with words of a song, Lord, but we connect, Lord, with the root of where those words come from, and that's You, Lord. So we pray that You would just allow us to connect heart to heart, mind to mind, spirit to spirit, Lord, that we would be in You this morning. We would be in Christ. That we wouldn't be in our own thoughts and our own ways, but we'd been in Christ. So we just submit and we commit this time to You. We ask, let Your will be done in this service. Let Your plans and Your purposes be established, Lord, in our midst. In Jesus' name. Thank You, Lord.
Be on my lips. You will be great. I'm Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. I'm in a bit of a quandary this morning because I'm not my better half. What?
You need somebody to sit up there with you.
Yeah, I don't know how to do this anymore. How do you do this? There we go. Get it just right. Can we get a surveyor here to make sure we got it right? But let's go ahead and pray for Gay. She's been really sick, and I'm sure she would appreciate the prayers. Father, we just bring Gay before your throne of grace right now, Lord. We hold her in our hearts, Lord, and we bring her, Lord, to you in time of need right now and mercy. And we pray that you would just heal her body, touch her tonsils, touch everything, Lord, that has to do with this strep throat attack. And we pray that you would allow her, Lord, to recover and have strength and get plenty of rest. And we just thank you, Lord, for her life. And we thank you, God, for her calling. And we pray, Lord, that you would just let her receive, Lord, an impartation from you, more than just healing, Lord. Impartation of your spirit and of your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. So, it's just so funny the way God works. I was thinking, this morning, because I had something on my heart, and so I did some study and did some reading, but I just didn't feel like, like a launch for it, and so I read through, I actually went through last night and looked at every 2020 verse, just to see if there might be one that's, and there's some good ones. There's just nothing that stood out, God's a God of like numbers. And so I thought maybe there's going to be like, the golden treasure if we try to, huh? He's a God of obviously he's got like a purpose and a plan and destiny. And one time this was years ago, this is a side story, but I was waking up in the morning, and I think it was 4:44 is what it was. And I knew that, I just woke up and I said, 4:44, that's interesting. And I've seen that number a lot. But I just knew that day, that was like, what are you trying to say, Lord? So it was around April time, so I'd never even considered that. So what ended up happening is I was, going through that morning, and I read through all the 4:4 verses. I woke up, it's like 4:44, so I stayed up. And so I couldn't find any verse. There's some great 4:4 verses, John 4:4. I mean, there's, but nothing like rang true. And so I ended up going at, I think it was 8 o'clock or something. I was taking Tim to work or school. I was taking him to school. And I looked at my watch, and it was 44 degrees. I said, okay, this is like too weird, And so, I again thought, okay, Lord, I don't know what you're doing here. And so what ended up happening is I saw 4:44 again in the afternoon, and I thought, okay, this is very interesting. So what it ended up being, though, is that it was going to be on April 4th of that year that something very significant happened. And so I'm not superstitious, but there are times that the Lord uses mysterious ways to communicate to us. So that being said, I thought I would look and see if there was something 2020. So I did that last night, nothing. Not saying there's nothing in 2020s. You can go through and look. There's not that many 2020s. That means it has to be a book number with 20 chapters. And then 20 verses. There's some books that have 20 chapters, but not 20 verses. So there's like maybe 12 chapters. So you guys that can be your assignment this week. Go look at 2020. But what I was going to say is that, so I had this like on my heart, this thought this morning. And I was like, looking through the verses, and I'm not going to get into it because I may use that where we go. Obviously, I'm waiting on the Lord here to get the exact direction. But what ended up happening is I ended up going through John 12, 20 through 50, and laid it all out, read it, looked at it. There's amazing stuff there. And sent it to Gay and totally thought, okay, this is where we're going to go. But never really felt like That was it. And I have to tell you, I really appreciate what Gabe brings to the chapters when we go through them. So I really feel like I'm going to set that on the side, and I'm going to go with what I was reading this morning and what's been on my heart. So, and it's interesting that we ended with All Who Are Thirsty. You can say, well, you picked the song. Well, I picked the song way after all of this. And so I don't think it was, a Freudian thing. I think it was Holy Spirit. So, all right, so let's go ahead and turn in our Bibles. And it's not up on the screen, so Ezekiel. You guys read Ezekiel a lot, right? Like every day. Ezekiel back, hang on a second here. I think it's 40, I think it is. No, Ezekiel 40, yeah. Ezekiel 2020, there is no Ezekiel 2020. I checked that one, I don't think there was. I think it goes to 2018. What? Ezekiel chapter 40. So if we want to get really goofy, 20 times 20 is 40. 20 plus 20 is 40, yeah. Or 2 times 20 is 40. But I'm not going there. I'm just telling you, like, oh, I mean, there's 20s in that. So this is a vision that, is this the right one? Are we at the right one? No, that's not the one. Sorry. I'm wrong. Bear with me here. Right. Here we go. 47. So go back and read 40 another time. It's really good too, but 47. That has nothing to do with 2020. Okay. Ezekiel 47, water flowing from the temple. Okay. So what was on my heart this morning was the idea of waters. And I was meditating on, you know, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water, and that, you know, that he was the rock in the desert that followed them and always gave, you know, Israel water when they needed it. And so led me to this. So let's go ahead and read it, or I can read it. This is in the ESV version. Then he brought me back to the door of the temple, and behold, water was issuing from below the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the temple faced east. The water was flowing down from below the south end of the threshold of the temple, south of the altar. So this is Ezekiel, and he was a visionary. He got visions and saw things all the time. So the Lord is bringing him to, I believe, the temple in Jerusalem, but he's seeing the temple in a different way. He's seeing it where water is running. Now, we know that water is synonymous with Jesus. You know, he said, you know, that on the great day of the feast, I think he stood up and said, all who are thirsty, right, come to me and drink. So he had this life flow that came out of him, which was represented by water. But it's interesting that there's something about in Jesus too that explains that we have a source of water in us. Out of our bellies shall flow rivers of living water. And it says that this he spoke of the Holy Spirit, which would be given not too distant future. It says, then he brought me out by the way of the north gate, and led me around on the outside of the outer gate that faces toward the east. And behold, the water was trickling on the south side. So we're seeing him in the east, and we're seeing him on the south, brings around the north. And it sounds like the water's starting to flow out of this temple, not just from it's starting to come around the sides. It's starting to become like a moat around it. You know, there's water that's coming. And then it says, going on eastward with a measuring line in his hand, the man measured 1,000 cubits and then led me through the water, and it was ankle deep. Now, I've heard so many different sermons on this, on the idea of ankle, knee deep, waist deep, and then swimming in it. And I don't necessarily want to go there today, but I believe those are truths, that when it comes to God, we can have just a little bit. then we can have more. And it's really up to us how much of God we let be God in us. It's not a deal where he forces himself on us. He respects our ability to make a choice. And he does that all through our life. I believe he coaches us and guides us and encourages us along the way. How many of you have been encouraged by God to press in? I think, you know, it happens. You know, he'll cause things to happen in our lives so that we draw close to him. Why? So that he can say he's got another one, you know, drawing close to him? No, because it's what we need. We will be better off if we have a more intimate, closer relationship with God. So this water now is ankle deep. Now it goes, and again he measured 1,000. So he's measuring 1,000. I think is it 1,000 cubits in some translations? Is what it is, yeah. I don't know exactly what it is. How long is it?
One-third
of a mile. I was going to say, I think it's a little under a mile. So one-third of a mile. So he's measured out one-third of a mile, his ankle deep, and he's measuring out again. And now we find out that at this measurement, that it's knee-deep. And again, he measured 1,000 and led me, and it was waist-deep. So we go from ankle, knee to waist. And then again, he measures, and it is a river that you can't pass through. And it becomes basically a water flowing that is like you're swimming in it. Everybody get the picture? And then he says to me, "Son of man, have you seen this?" Then he led me back to the bank of the river. I wondered, why is he saying, "Have you seen this?" Is he asking him, have you seen this before? Or are you seeing what I'm showing you? Or have you seen me working like this? See, I think there's times that we read the Bible and we're trying to always, you know, picture, which it does. It does have prophetic meaning to it. It's a picture of you know, of what the potential last days could be, which we're in the last days, a potential of what it could mean during what some believe is a millennium reign. You know, all of those things are part of it. But I think there's something, son of man, son of children of God. Have we seen this? Do we see God working like this? Are we allowing him to see him working like this? You know, if you think of Israel in that day, during Ezekiel's times, they were in a very, very difficult state because they were pretty much in rebellion. And most of the prophecies that they were getting were the ones that they were not doing things the way that God had designed them to do it. And yet here God is showing them in all of this his glory. Have you seen my glory working in your day? You know, I know there was Isaiah, I believe it was. And he thought he was like Elisha. It was Elisha. He thought he was a lone wolf that was serving God. To the place where, you know, he's like saying, God, you know, I'm the one standing here. Was it Elisha or Elijah? Elijah. Sorry. I always get Shah and Jah mixed up, but The J comes before the Sha, which is an SH, so, just so you know. Yeah. That's a good way to remember it. I just got the characters wrong. I'm going, no, it's not Elijah. Anyway, it's after he ran away from Jezebel when she said she was going to kill him. But what he's on this mountain, he's crying out, and you know, and he's thinking that he's like this lone person. And I think God says, you know, I've reserved, was it 7,000 or something like that? That have not bowed their knee to Baal. They haven't given in. I still have my water flowing from my temple. I still am working. And you know, the days that we're coming into, I know Jesse follows some of the news. I know maybe some of you guys follow the news, and we follow some of the things that are going on in the political realm, the geopolitical realm, worldwide. You know, the things that are going on, you know, with like Australia. I mean, Australia's like on fire. Pray for them. I mean, it's like burning all the time now, and it's partly because of the climate change that's happening. Some think it's because of, you know, global warming, which we have stopped. I think it's because of what's called a grand solar minimum, and you guys can go look that up, and you'll find that the grand solar minimum happens about every 400 years, and so If you go back and you look at what happened 100 years ago, Australia was kind of a droughted place, and that was one of the solar minimums. Anyway, digress. I get into my technical stuff, yeah. So, but again, we see all these things happening, and we could say, Lord, you know, where are you in all of this? I mean, it looks like, you know, the world's just going after, you know, their own way. But have we seen him working? Are we opening our eyes and seeing him working at this time? Anyway, I just thought I would point that out because I think it's interesting that he asked him, have you seen this? Are you seeing this? Are you seeing what I'm doing? Maybe this wasn't just a prophetic word for back then. Maybe it was for Ezekiel to see what God was doing even then in their midst. That even in this rebellious nation, there were ones that were starting to have the river of life flow through them. I'm putting a very optimistic spin on this. So then he led me back to the bank of the river. And as I went, I saw on the bank of the river many trees on the one side and on the other. So there's these trees. I think trees represent our lives, represent people. Trees are often in Psalms a representation of us. We know that there was a plant that was planted in Mark 4. And that plant was, you know, to the place where it could grow up and produce fruit. You know, most fruit-bearing items are what? Trees, right? I mean, there's bushes. And I guess there are some fruit-bearing plants like strawberries and blue. Yeah. But when I think of something bearing, I'm thinking of a tree, something strong, something that's roots go down deep and get to the nourishment, right? And we know that was the seed that was planted on the wayside, and you know the enemy comes in and takes it right before it takes root. And we know that when it takes root, then the sun comes and scorches it, and it dies from what we know is persecution? I think it is, for the sake of the word, one of those. But the point being is that I believe these trees are representing lives. Okay, anybody else agree with me? Lives, people's lives. And that as we read what this says about it, that, and he said to me, this water flows toward the eastern region and goes down into the Araba and enters the sea. When the waters flows into the sea, the water will become fresh. So that's all too deep for me. I don't know exactly what it means. It could mean that these waters are going to go into what would be like Dead Sea places, and that it's going to be turned fresh. To me, it's symbology that God can take what is dying and make it alive. Fishermen will stand beside the sea from En Gedi to Engelim, and it will be a place for the spreading of nets. Its fish will be of very many kinds, like the fish of the great sea. Also sounds like it could be something that's real, that there's fishermen that are going to be in this. It could, maybe isn't just all symbolic as we make it. But its swamps and marshes will not become fresh. They are left to be for salt. So that's interesting, isn't it? That there's part of this movement that's happens that remains swampy and remains stagnant. Do you have a question?
Well, I was just going to say, you know,
Bunny has a question too. Right.
It's all input. And so this could be talking about that those that don't grow will start to grow.
Mm-hmm.
The waters go in, that it will refresh in that sea and overflow it so it comes out fresh.
That's very possible. Bunny, so you had a question?
In looking up the Bible numbers, for years since my son was born, that's 741.
Oh. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
So 40 means that?
Yeah, so 40 is the 40 is signified by water in some way in the Bible. And there's the series of 40s generally has to do with the flow of events and time.
That's biblical.
And then it talks about separating either side of the river, and it has a numeric value of 41, which is meaning.
Especially when your child is born, it's at 41. Yeah. Right.
When I saw it, I thought, yes, this is great, this is great. But I see it, even today, I see it 3 or 4 times a day. Sometimes in the summer, more. I see it constantly.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's part of God's way of communicating to us. He knows that the need that we have for affirmation and confirmation and guidance and direction. So, and on the banks, on both sides of the river, there will grow all kinds of trees for food. Their leaves will not wither, nor their fruit fail, but they will bear fresh fruit every month because the water for them flows from the sanctuary. Their fruit will be for food and their leaves for healing. Now, it's interesting, especially when you read this part, this verse 12 almost directly relates with Revelation 22, which is where I want us to turn, because what I'm trying to help us do, because as Christians, we are so good at putting things off. We're so good at putting off the next move will be, putting off, I'll seek God when I get to church on Sunday, or I'll be closer to him when I get to church on Sunday, right? I mean, some people think that way, Catholics for the longest time, they would live like crazy devil almost all week long, and they would get to the confessional on, I think it was Saturday night or something, right? And they would get it, they'd get it all squared away, and then they could go out that Saturday night, start over again, but I mean, there's this idea that there's something that we have to wait for. And what I want us to do is realize that in Christ, we're already existing in his eternalness. We're already existing in his promises. We're already existing in his finished work. The only difference is how do we see it? What did he say to him? Have you seen this? Are you seeing this? Are we going to allow ourselves to see what God's already done in us and let that come forth? See, I think it's huge, because the body of Christ has been waiting for something to happen exterior. And God's been waiting for what he's already done interior in us to take place. In other words, for us to come to alive to the truth that so he is, as he is now, as it says in 1 John, as he is right now, so are we actually existing in this world. So how is Christ now? Well, he's seated at the right hand of the Father. So in Christ, we're seated at the right hand of the Father. That's a place of authority. He's glorified. Some would say, well, we're not glorified yet. Really? As he is right now, so are we in this world. So is it that we are already have a glorified state and we just can't see it because of the darkness? I think this partly what we're experiencing, that we do not see who we truly are because of the environment that we're in. But we can see. We have the mind of Christ. We have the prayer of Paul. I pray that the eyes of your understanding would be opened. What? So we could be enlightened and we can see the glorious inheritance in the saints, the riches of the glorious inheritance, that we could visualize, whether it's in our heart or actually with our eyes, what and who we are. Not in a boisterous, proudful way, but in a way of humbly realizing that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. And if heirs, joint heirs with Christ. Some will say we're heirs and we have an inheritance, but we haven't got our inheritance yet. Really? I don't think that's the case. I don't think we're waiting for our inheritance. Now, when we transfer or translate or whatever we do, when this heart stops beating and we stop breathing, there's going to be a shift. But it's not that all of a sudden we receive something that we didn't have. It's that we're in another state that we get to experience, I believe, in a greater measure what we already had. Hopefully by now, I mean, I've been sharing this for a long time. Nobody here is waiting for something to get something from God when they get to heaven. Other than maybe his love, you know, unrestrained. I'm looking forward to that. What did Paul say? That, you know, that my faith becomes sight. That there's something that I see. But it's not that I'm going to attain anything. Because he's given us all things. We're not missing nothing. Have you seen this? Let's go ahead and go to Revelation 22. I hope I'm not too deep for today. 2:2. Isn't that interesting? 2:2. Put it 0:0:2020. Revelation 22, verse 1. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life. That's what was on my heart today. This water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, through the middle of the street and of the city, also on either side of the river, and the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. Now notice that those trees were all yielding fruit each month, weren't they? Why is he talking about something on earth that's yielding fruit each month for healing? And then the tree of life also exhibits that. Could there be a parallel to these lives that are here now, that are receiving this enrichment of the flow of God right now, and we have the ability to bear fruit every month? That we don't have to be going through seasons of drought and seasons of lack and seasons of disparage lives, that we have already what we need to bear fruit every month? Just a thought. I'm not saying that's the case, but I think it's interesting that when he's describing this, he's describing a temple, it sounds like, in the earthly realm, and we know that this is supposedly in the heavenlies. And we know that this is the book of Revelation, which is what? The revelation of Jesus Christ. This book was written to reveal Christ, the nature of Jesus Christ. And it says, through the middle of the street of the city, also on either side of the river, the tree of life, which is 12 kinds of fruit. Interesting, 12 kinds of fruit. You know, I know the fruit of the Spirit is 9, but it's just interesting that what? Yes, and it says, using fruits each month, the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Now, it didn't add that in Ezekiel, but I think you could have added that. That these trees that were being nourished and fed by these waters that came, what is the temple? The temple was the source. And we know that God now doesn't live in temples built with hands, does he? We are the temple. So could it be as well that we walking around in this day have the potential of these waters flowing out? Yeah. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it. And his servants will worship him. I think this is interesting. No longer will there be anything accursed. So nothing is cursed anymore. But the throne of God and the Lamb will be in it. In what? In the accursed. The thing. He'll be in it. I don't know. To me, it sounds like God's very redemptive. And then it says here, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face and his name will be on their foreheads. And the night will be no more. They will need no light of a lamp. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. You know how many times Jesus says, "I am the light of the world" in John? I mean, it's like amazing how many times. And John refers to him as the light.
And he says, "We are the light."
We are the light. We contain the light. So what is holding us back then from being these trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, is another Bible verse that talks about, you know, a being, you know, a tree, a thing, an item, but it represents us that is planted by God. I think we already are. We don't lack any good thing. So the key is these rivers of the water of life, are they flowing? And I think that's the only thing that stops it. It's our choice. It's like, do we choose to remain in a state of darkness? And when I say state of darkness, I'm not talking about just, you know, sin-drenched clothes. That's not what I'm talking about, you know. That's what I used to mean. But I mean in a place where we're not letting the light of the glorious gospel shine in our hearts, to the place where it illuminates lies and exposes them, and we truly see Jesus for who he is and who we are for who we are. Because if we see Jesus, guess what? We see us. If we truly see Jesus, we will see ourselves. Because we are like him.
Push on you.
But is that an illusion, Bob? What if that's an illusion? The very fact that you can't physically, because of your humanity, can't spend the quality time that you would like to spend with him. What if that's an illusion? What if you spend more time with him than you ever realize right now, just because you're his? And the only difference is because Satan comes to you and says, "Well, you haven't spent time with him. Now, oh yeah, I haven't. So I'm not like him." But what if you just living every single day, you're spending time with him? Every moment you're awake, you're in him. And the only difference is that we're letting him have that space in us. Yeah, I enjoy getting away and having devotional time, but what if that is an illusion? What if when Christ took residence in us, we're never separated, we're always on his heart, we're always on his mind, And we're always being transformed and changed.
Amen.
Into his glory.
I imagine him sitting next to me all the time.
Yeah, because it's hard to imagine him sitting inside of you, right?
Right.
Let me move over.
Like, a lot of time alone, it's easy for me to talk to him and put him right there next to me.
Right. And is devotion a time set aside, or is it a life given? See, is your devotion that while you're working, your job that you have to work, you're honoring him in how you're treating others. You're honoring him in how you're thinking about others. When you see a need, you're praying for it. Bob, it could be that you're closer than you ever thought to God. And that, you know, there was a brother Lawrence, and he was known as this great monk of the 1600s, I think it is. You can read about him. And what is the name of the book? I'm trying to think of it. What is it called? You've read it, haven't you? The Brother Lawrence book. I'm trying to remember the name of it. Basically, what it means is that you have a rest in God. And I can't remember the name of the book right now. But he got to the place, Bob, that he
was more closer to God when he was doing dishes, fixing people's shoes, going out and just walking through the garden with other people than when he got away in his own cell by himself, because he realized that he was more connected to God when he was living as he was created to be. Something to think about. I'm not trying to put aside any kind of, you know, devotions or spending time reading the word. But the thing is that we can get to the place where we can sell short what he's doing in us when we have to work 12-hour shifts and don't have the time for that. And all we have time is to, you know, pray as you drive to work. The thing is, he's at work in us, it says, to will and to do of his good pleasure. So the thing is, I try to place myself as a father, because I am a father. And I try to think about the way that I think about my children. And if I don't hear from my kids, I'm not sitting there fretting and stewing over the fact that I don't hear from them. I know that they have busy lives. I know that I've been with them. I've given them guidance. I've given them direction, you know. But when I do hear their voice, when they do come, "Hi, son. Hi, sis." You know what I mean? It's like, it warms my heart. But I'm not like begrudging, "Where have you been?" I don't feel that way. Now, I'm evil, the Bible says. Because I still have tendencies that I have the dark side. So if I'm being evil, think that way towards my children. How much more our Heavenly Father? So you're not failing. Yeah, there's a good word. You're not falling short when you don't put in your designated devotional time. Because your devotion is your life, Bob. That's your devotion. Now, you can have devotional time in your devotion, but you being his and living for him is your devotion. What's it say? Romans 12. "I urge you, therefore, brethren, by God's mercies, to present our bodies a living sacrifice devoted to him." What is that? That's our worship. That's our devotion. Presenting our bodies. I would think so. The fact that we are his offspring. As Paul tried to communicate to the Athens group. You're his offspring. As your one poet said, in him you live and you move and you have your being. Your very existence is him. How much more us being his children by understanding and enlightenment. See, there's many people that walk around your work that don't have that grace yet, that haven't come to the knowledge that they're the offspring of God, that they're his children, and that he longs to have them in a place where you are, where you know him and know his love.
So this is going back to the temple comment about where the temple. Okay, so God, "I am." And he created us where we have to say, "I am Bob, I am Vicky," because he's in us. So we are always stating, "I am." Because
that's a good point. We have the "I am." I think that's Jonathan Kahn, isn't it?
We are,
yeah.
"I am."
That's right.
So we are the, you know, that signifies that we are the temple. So, and we are with him everywhere, and he goes everywhere with us because "I am."
Like I said, and I want to put this on a t-shirt. I think it'd be a great conversation starter. Where I am, there he is. I think it's a great concept to think about. Wherever I am, he's there. Why? Because wherever I am, he is. And wherever you are, he is. That's the beauty of God. He can be in each and every one of us, devoted to us, loving us with the full attention that we need of love. I think the only thing that stops us, and maybe that's, Bob, maybe that's what it is for you. You are able to get away to the place where the busyness gets out of your mind and all the hassles of life, all the hurts of life, and you're able to focus on
His love for you and your devotion to Him. And that is a special time. And I would not deny that. But don't let that be a stoppage of knowing that He's at work in you right now. And in everything that you do, whether you, the 8 hours or 12 hours of hard work that you do, you're in Him and He's in you. And you're being transformed into Him. From glory to glory. It doesn't have to be something that we sweat over, because His yoke is easy, His burden is light. Why would he have said that if it wasn't true? And yet so many of us fret over us and how our Christianity's, you know, either happening or not happening.
Because we're struggling with a lie that keeps constantly.
It's the lie of the enemy. Okay, Jesse has something. Oh, this is good. Yeah. You want to read it, Jess?
No, go ahead.
Okay, hang on. Jesse's getting all Jewish on us, so hang on here. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding, Jesse. I'm just being silly. Colossians 3:23 in the Complete Jewish Bible.
Any Bible, actually.
Well, but you gave it to me in the Complete Jewish, so we're going to be completely Jewish here, so hang on. Whatever you do, whatever work you do, put yourself into it as those who are serving not merely other people, but the Lord. There you go. Work as unto the Lord. And it's not that we're just working as unto the Lord. It's that we are working as to the Lord. I used to think, oh, when I do work, I want to work as if I'm doing it to God. And so I'm going to work a certain way. That's good. And that was good in its day because I treated others with respect and kindness and stuff. But what if when we're working as if we're already in Christ working? We're working as if we were the Lord. Because we are.
St. Francis of Assisi said, always speak the gospel. Always speak about it. And then when necessary, use words.
Oh, yes. Let our lives be the message. Yeah. Plain and simple. But getting back to this, where I was just at hanging, this is the key. This is, I think, what the Lord put on my heart. This idea that there's the river of water of life. And how it works out in us, I don't know. Does it mean that, you know, that it's always flowing? Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. He spoke this of the Holy Spirit. Some people would have said, well, that only happened when you were baptized in the Holy Spirit and you spoke in tongues. Came from teaching that way. That's when the rivers of living water were flowing. Only problem with that is now you've made the river of God up to me. And then when I read that, that river went wherever it wanted to go. And it went. And nothing could stop it. I'm here to tell you, when you are enlightened by the Holy Spirit to the place where you know that you're His and that you're loved and that He died for you and He redeemed you and that you are a precious vessel in His sight, that river's flowing. And I take heat for it sometimes. I believe the river was flowing to the place where I came to that knowledge. That without that river flowing in me, I would have never come to the knowledge of God. Some people say, well, there's no way that you could have had the river or had God before you came to know God. Well, then that sure sounds like it's going to be a difficult thing to have happen if I never was able to know God, or I didn't ever have God, how could I have ever come to God? Logically, it doesn't make sense. To me, God had to be at work in me before I knew it. He was at work in me to will and to do of His good pleasure. And for grace, at the age of 19, that good pleasure was to know Him as my Savior, as my Lord, as the God who was giving me life and breath. Hope that wasn't too much for the start of 2020. Anyone else? You have anything, Gina? Nothing deep to add? Come on, Moses is in here. You can bring something. I know Moses would have something. Well, let me tell you. No. How about you, Katie? Anything? Do you agree? That you have all of God that you need. Every time you go to work, every time you lean out the window to hand somebody a coffee, They're receiving not only that coffee, but they're receiving that love and grace as you look at them. And that you are being transformed into His image as you work your daily job. That's something to think about. That as we go through our normal life, living these normal lives, we're being transformed from glory to glory. Boy, that sure takes the heat off of it. Now, some people say, well, Pastor Mike, now you're just going to create a whole bunch of lazy Christians that don't want to do anything. Really? Really? So the closer we get to God, the lazier we get. Okay.
No, we don't need to make more effort.
What's that?
We don't need to make any more effort, right?
Well, that's what some would say. You see, if you don't put the monkey on their back, if you don't make them feel like if they don't do this that they're going to go to hell in a handbasket, then you're just going to have people running wild.
And that's where people fight. They don't want it shoved down their throat, but they want to see it.
Well, some people still want it shoved down their throat, though.
When I try to talk to people, sometimes it's like...
Oh, you're talking about...
Yeah, they want to see it.
Because they've heard it for so long. They've heard it and they've never seen it. That'd be a good song to write, I think. Yeah. All right. Well, praise the Lord. I think we're putting this one in the books. And Father, we thank you for being this river of water of life, Lord. And however that works in us now, we know that it meant something to Ezekiel. It means something in Revelation. But what are we seeing now in us? What are you doing now in these vessels? In 2020, what kind of flow of God is going to be allowed to move through us? Help us, Lord, to be open and open receivers, Lord, of letting the water flow out of us and flow through us, but also affecting us, that we, Lord, would be those trees that are bearing fruit. And Lord, that we would be ones that are feeding through that water trees that would bear fruit. So I'm glad, God, that we don't have to figure all this out, but that we can see clearly that you, in your word, are releasing all that we need to have life and have it more abundantly. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. 2020 vision. I hear that from a lot of people. Yeah. That's Ephesians, right? Basically, bless you, love you. Oh, last week? Yes.